today is just...
We've been studying about the Day of Yahweh, what that is an Old Testament concept. Remember, the Day of Yahweh is one that it was good news for some people. It was bad news for other people. Bad news for whom? The enemies of Yahweh. Good news for whom? The people of Yahweh. Okay? That's the way it was. And I already introduced this. It's not my subject matter today. I want to jump ahead a little bit. But the subject matter is that you have to understand that when Jesus came to the last generation of Israel, Moses had already told the last generation of Israel back in Deuteronomy 31 and 32 what they were going to go to, what they were going to be like. And it was not good. Deuteronomy was, they were about to go into the land. He was going to tell them, how do you live in the land? And yet he told them that last generation, I'm not going to study that today, but just realize, he told them, you are going to go far from me. You're going to be really bad. You're going to get to where it's so bad that you're going to be judged. And right here, I say in the New Testament, what you can find, I haven't put my study together on this, but I have it in my head, that Israel, Old Covenant Israel, by the words of Jesus himself, they had become Sodom. They had become like Babylon. They had become so that they had become like Egypt. They had become like Assyria. Assyria was going to be, the men of Nineveh were going to stand up against them in the judgment. Now that is no good stuff. No good stuff. But however, realize that that was Old Covenant apostate Israel. At the same time, there was that. There was a New Covenant spiritual Israel that was being birthed and being brought alive because of Jesus being the first fruits. He was Israel. Also, that was happening too. This remnant of Israel becomes the true people of Yahweh. That was going on. They were going to become the new wife of Yahweh. Now, here's what brings up my study for today. Just that is introduction, but, well, let me just say this. How did that old covenant, apostate Israel, become the new covenant, spiritual Israel? The enemies of God, how did they become the people of God? Two words, although they're big words. Can you say these words? Eschatological transformation. C.F. mentioned it this morning. He called Jesus the last Adam. You know what that word last is? Eschaton Adam. The guy that sits next to that woman, John, sitting next to him. He has that in his writings, and he calls him Eschaton Adam. Well, that's because the Bible calls him that. Because Jesus that. He was Eschaton Adam to do what the first Adam didn't do. But anyway, this is how it happened. Eschatological transformation. It was for a remnant. Okay, but it happened. Now, let me show you this. Here's what inspired me to go ahead and do this today. And my question today, in the New Testament reality of this day of Yahweh, that's a day of judgment. So I ask you, the judgment, in fact, the judgment is different from a judgment. You agree? Mm-hmm. Yes, you should, okay? This morning when C.F. was talking about how Adam and Eve died in the garden. Adam and Eve died in the garden on the day they ate of the fruit, okay? And guess what death they died? The death. New Testament uses a definite article on that. And C.F. explained to you this morning what the death is that they died. Was it physical?
No.
No, which one was it?
Spiritual
death, separation from God, until the last Adam, Eschaton Adam, would come and reconcile that, okay? But here's the question. Is there the judgment in your future? Here's why. I asked that. Yesterday was such a sweet time. Tim Ramsey and his family buried their daddy, had a funeral for their daddy. It was such an uplifting to both of Tim's fathers. He preached the funeral, and he honored both his father and his father. But his dad, Tim had certainty about his daddy, because when he talked to his dad about a hard subject, sometimes for sons to talk to a gruff old daddy, well, Dad, what do you expect? What do you see? What's going on? He said, hey, well, I have certainty. Tim said, how do you have certainty? He said, because of my faith in Jesus. So Tim rejoiced, okay? But his dad asked him a question. He said, but then, son, what about the judgment? What about the judgment? Okay, and that was already all part of my deal as to how to do it. So I said, let's skip ahead. Let's talk about that. My daddy used to use a phrase. My daddy's probably older than Tim's dad by 10 years, but my dad used to say, well, this will happen until kingdom come. Y'all heard that?
Yeah.
What were you talking about? My dad was a Catholic. That Catholics don't know about eschatology. They don't know about much Bible many times. But he said, until kingdom come. But he was talking about what? The second or the final coming of Jesus. And so, and that would be always, there's three things that happen at the coming. All right, one is the coming, the parousia, okay, para, usia. Number two, the resurrection. And number three, the judgment. Okay, they all have definite articles. All right, I'm going to show you that today. But is there the judgment in your future? That's a question.
No.
Okay, well, there's a no, and let's see what does the scripture say, and I'm gonna give you here.
Not if I'm a believer in Christ, I'm not gonna get judged.
Okay.
Because Christ has paid the price, and he's gonna intercede for me when it's time for me to do the judgment and say, hold up, this one is mine.
All right, yes. For what would you be judged? And who comes under a judgment? That's what I want us to answer today. You are under the judgment, okay, the judgment for the law. We're gonna ask ourselves. What law? The Mosaic law is the only one that counted when Jesus was given all of this during this period of time that the New Testament was written. Okay? But first of all, what did the Old Testament through the Spirit prophet say? What did the Old Testament prophet say? Where in the Old Testament does it say that there's going to be this resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked? Where is that? I'm going to show you. Okay? I'm going to leave you hanging because it ain't many to remember. You know what I mean? Well, you ain't going to believe it. You ain't going to believe how many times it talks about it in the Old Testament about the righteous of the wicked and the righteous. How many? How the resurrection of the righteous and wicked. I'm going to tell you one place. I'm going to show you that. Then, so what did the Old Testament prophet say through the Spirit? What did Jesus say with the Spirit? And what did, you can't see it, the New Testament writers through the Spirit say? Because they all said the same thing. You would expect that, would you not?
Yeah.
Yes, you would. Okay? So, that's what I want us to talk about. The judgment, what does it mean? Who is it for? And so forth. Now look, I got a lot of verses here. I just had to put them somewhere so I have them in a place. But turn to Daniel 12. And here's the question. How many places in the Old Testament does it talk about the resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked? I already told you the answer. One place. Now, that's not Richard saying that. How many of you in here have a NET Bible? I know one because he studies with us and it's a great Bible. How many notes does it have in it, do you know? It had 40,000 when they printed the latest one, and now it's probably got 50,000 because they allow notes to be put. Read what they say. Well, we're going to read Daniel, but look what they say in this NET notes about verse 12:2. Are you at Daniel 12:2? If you're at Daniel 12:2, we're going to see. And look, I didn't believe this when I heard it the first time, that this is the only place in the Old Testament that it talks about the righteous and the wicked being raised. But now here, the new NET, New English Translation, they say the same thing. Look at this. This verse is the only undisputed reference to a literal resurrection found in the Hebrew Bible. The Tanakh, okay, the whole Hebrew Bible. The only verse, undisputed reference to a literal resurrection. What do they mean by literal? Now, the next things are mine. What do they mean by literal? Most people will say bodily, fleshly, whatever, but no, it's according to the literature, okay? That's what it means. And what about Paul's quotes from the Old Testament? Okay, we're going to look at that, all right? So what do these editors mean when they say this is the only place? What does it say? Look at 12. 12. Now look, you got to really read all the way from 9, 10, 11, and 12. But we ain't going to do that. We're getting to the end of Daniel's revelation about what he was told. Daniel, greatly beloved, I'm going to give you the timetable. And that's what part of this is. Give you the timetable. Daniel's the only one that got all the timetable. And he was expecting to get out of exile because they had been in exile how many years? 70. And he's reading what book that said they were going to be in exile 70 years? What book? What book?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah said, I'm going to send you away 70 years, and then I'm going to restore you back. And Daniel says, he's praying, now, Lord? Is it now, Lord? Now, Lord? Now, Lord? Gabriel comes, and Gabriel tells him, how many years does he have to wait until they get restored? How many? How many? 70 times?
7.
Okay? That's 490. Okay, and if you throw in 10 Jubilees, that may be 500 added to their... Anyway, I'm getting into that. There you go. That's 490 years. That's what it is. Well, golly, Lord, you said 70 years and we'd go back. Now you're telling me 70 times 7, but Gabriel was interpreting something different. He was going to a total fulfillment, not just going back to dirt. Daniel wanted to go back to dirt, and to a temple that would get rebuilt. And did it get rebuilt during that? Yes. And when they rebuilt it, and some that had seen that first temple of Solomon's, and they saw it, and they were so overcome with emotion that they what? They wept. They wept. Because they were so happy, or what?
Unhappy.
Unhappy? Why?
Because it was so pitiful compared to the property.
Ouch. Yeah. Ouch. Very good. Very good, Barbara. They wept because it was so pitiful. Okay, so that's the background in Daniel. So anyway, we're at the end of Daniel's prophecy. And what does Daniel say? When he says 12:1, at that time, he's talking about the time of the end. Okay, look back in 11:40. Is your Bible open and you see back in 11:40?
Daniel
11:40. Now, it's just telling you, at the time of the end, then the king of the south, king of the north, they're all fighting. Those are Ptolemies down in the south and the Seleucids up there. And they're fighting back and forth. They're going on through Israel. But so it's at in 12:1 where he's told, at that time, Daniel, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands over the sons of your people. Who do you think your people are?
Israel.
You can say Israel. I say true Israel. You can say Jews. I say true Jews. Okay? And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Well, there you go, Patrick. I think that's a nation of Israel. To that time, and at that time, your people, the same ones, shall be delivered. Well, okay. Everyone found written in the book. Well, the book is the same book. Always was the book. In Rev 20, we got the book. But here's number 12:2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the land or earth shall awake. Here's your two groups. Some to everlasting life. Some to shame, everlasting, what you got?
Contempt.
Abhorrence. Okay? Well, there's your righteous and your wicked. This verse right there. What does the Net Bible say about that? This verse, the only undisputed reference to a literal resurrection, better said, it's the only reference to a literal resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. And I could prove that to you, but we don't have enough time, but I can show you all the verses, okay, that when they talk about a resurrection, they don't put both righteous and wicked both together, except Daniel. He does that. He does that. So this is your timetable. And then in verse 3, it just gives you a little more that those who are wise shall shine, okay, like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, they'll shine like the stars forever. Now look, Jesus uses this same exact thing in Matthew 13 when they say, when, Lord? When is all this judgment going to happen? And he uses that. But I don't go there. I'm just telling you, here it is. They're quoting this. And Daniel is, later, if you continue on, he's told in verse 4, because this gives you a time text. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book. Same book up there? Well, yeah. Until the time of the end. If your Bible has the end of time, scratch it. It ain't no good in that verse. Until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. Daniel looked. He sees these two beings. And he sees another being standing in linen. Think pre-incarnate Jesus. I heard verse 7. I heard the man in linen. And he says, okay, because Daniel wants to know when. Well, he says, it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And here's you a time text. When the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. And look, I was taught that's at the future sometime into the church age. There's no end to the church age. But the power of the holy people, Daniel's people, what was their power? Was it a military power? Or was it a covenant power? And I hope you would say, it was a covenant power. It was a relationship with Yahweh. Was that going to end? Yes. Yes. That old covenant Israel power through an ethnic nation was going to end. It was meant to end. It was a purpose to bring the spiritual relationship, what Craig mentioned this morning, a new covenant. We don't put an old patch, a new patch on an old thing. We don't put new wine into old skins. Okay, that's new covenant into old. We ain't doing that. That we're going to have a brand new one. And that's what Jesus did. That's a great teaching that you heard Craig understood right. It's exactly right. So this is what Daniel is saying right here. Is the judgment. He's talking about the judgment. The resurrection. is what he's talking about. I'm convinced that that's what he's talking about. You get some of the same wording in the book of Revelation where they talk about different days, 1260 days, 3.5 years, a time, times, and half a time. They all mean the same thing. Okay? They all mean the same thing, different words to do them. But here's where you get it. Here's where you get it, okay, about when this judgment is going to happen. Okay? So what I want to do is that to take a little bit of time and show you that this is not the only place the resurrection is talked about, because here's some more of them. And I don't want you to turn to them all, but how about one out of Isaiah? Isaiah 26 says this, "Thy dead live, my body they rise. Awake and sing, ye dwellers in the dust, for the dew of herbs is your dew, and the land of the Rephaim thou causest to fall." So you got to ask yourself, who's the dead? Who's his dead? I think he's talking about the same people as Daniel. It's going to be the faithful covenant of Israel. Okay? As I think of what he said. And Paul quotes out of this little apocalypse area in 1 Corinthians 15. That's why you know it has to do with resurrection. Yes, Troy.
So everybody understands Rephaim, the land of Rephaim is a land of healing that causes others to fall. So Rephaim is a Hebrew word for healing.
Healing.
The healer.
The healer. When we say Yahweh, Rapha. Is that? Yes. And the eem is plural.
Yes.
So there you go. Okay. What's the ultimate healing the Christians got and get?
Salvation.
It is. It's what you heard this morning when Craig said Jesus healed this man. Well, was that the best thing he did for that man? No. He said what? Your sins are forgiven. That's your best healing. You can go through life with the loss of a lot of them things, eyes and hands and that.
Remember when they've been healed and when we've been healed and raised up, that causes the wicked to fall.
There you go.
And that causes them to be jealous. So.
Yes.
And it makes the other nations jealous.
Maybe you're getting in Romans 11 or whatever. Okay, so look, that was just the plan of God, what that is. Right? So I'm just showing you that Isaiah talked about it. Also Isaiah 66. You're not turning there, but just know that at the end of Isaiah, Isaiah talks about the new heavens and the new earth. In fact, Peter quotes him. That's where Peter gets his material in 1st and 2nd Peter. But look what he says in 66. "And they have gone forth, and they have looked on the carcasses of men who are transgressing against me." This is bad news for those men transgress against God. "For their worm doesn't die." That's your maggots eating on them in Hades. "Their fire," Hadean fire, "is not quenched. And they have been an abhorrence to all flesh." There's the same word from Daniel. Okay? Same thing. So these same prophets. Okay? And one more. Well, we could go more, but Ezekiel. Ezekiel's talking about the resurrection, but he's talking about a resurrection where he says, remember the Valley of Dry Bones? Okay? He's talking about a national resurrection for Israel. He came after Isaiah, Ezekiel. He came before Daniel. Daniel's already up there in Babylon when he's doing it. But look in 37:12. "Therefore, Ezekiel, prophesy, and you have said unto them," these dead bones, "thus says Yahweh, El Yahweh, lo, I am opening your graves and have brought you up out of your graves, O my people, and brought you in unto the land of Israel." That sound like resurrection to you? Well, it should. He's getting them back in the land. This time, I don't think he's talking about physical dirt. He's talking about the spiritual kingdom. Spiritual land, of which the dirt was a type. But people had different views on that, which is okay. All right. Then I got more. Hosea talks about it. Malachi talks about it. Malachi is the last prophet to talk to Israel that God sends them. And look what he says. He says, "A day is coming, burning as a furnace, and all the proud and every wicked doer, they are as stubble. And I'm going to burn them up. Will that day, in that day, said Yahweh of hosts, I will not leave them root or branch." And then he closes the old covenant tonight. How do you like that as your last words? How long did he quit talking to those people before he sent a prophet named John? 400 years. Does that make you sound like Egypt? After Joseph and the Pharaoh come, didn't know Joseph, and for 400 years, that's how, they're down there. before the first Exodus, and here's your 400 years before the second Exodus. Oh, add 30 more on because of Jesus, who started ministering at age 30. There's a lot of stuff in there. But do you see how he left him at the Old Testament? Malachi said, I'm going to put you under the ban. The ban is the Haran. It's kill everything. You heard of that? He's telling Israel that? Malachi, he's a messenger to Israel? That don't sound like good news. Okay, it's the deal. That's how he left them until John comes. All right? So there you go. There's the reality of the judgment that is coming. And I'm telling you that it's at least focused on Israel. Okay? An apostate Israel is at least what it is. All right? Now, here's the reality of the judgment in the New Testament. And go to Acts 17. We're going to start here. Okay? But Acts 17, we're going to look at what Jesus said as well. But in Acts 17, he is in at Mars Hill. Okay? And he is talking to those there and talking about their statue of, they're a very religious people. And they have statues to all kind of gods. And in case they don't know one, if you go to verse number 22 is where he begins this, okay? We're not going to read all that. But I want to get down to the judgment. The judgment. Verse 29 is where he finishes telling them that since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. But here you are, 30. What does he say? Truly, these times of ignorance, all these past times, God overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he, God, has appointed day. You got on there? It's not in the text, but appointed day on which he is about to judge the world in righteousness. And Young's literal is the best thing to get because right here, because he did set a day on which he is about to. The word is mellow there. It means about to, on the point of doing something. Not just means in the future, by and by, 2,000 years. I mean, he's about to do this, Paul is saying. And what else does he say? He has appointed a day on which he is about to judge the world in righteousness. Do you know what word world is there? You should ask, well, maybe that's cosmos. You would be wrong. I was wrong. It's oikomene. Oikomene is the inhabited world. Inhabited, not the globe. They didn't understand globe. They understood a land, okay? A land from Tarshish way out there all the way that way to the east, okay, past the Elamite. And so what he's saying here is that that whole thing, in fact, in the Christmas story when it says Augustus Caesar was put a tax on, he put a tax on the whole oikomene, which is the Roman Empire. So I'm just saying, that's what it is. I take that for what it is, okay? But that's what Paul says. He is about to judge the whole oikomene, okay? And then finish that, okay? It's about to do that. He's going to judge it in righteousness by the what? The man. Does the man capitalize in your Bible? Yes. Well, who be that man? That be the God man. Okay? That'd be the God man, that would be Jesus, and whom he, God, has ordained, appointed, and he, God, has given assurance of that, or faith of that, or belief of that, proof of that, to all by doing what?
Raise him from the dead.
There's your first fruits, there's Jesus as the proof, okay? Why did Jesus have to appear to people? Why didn't God just take him from the tomb and straight to heaven? Well, I mean, you know, it's a proof. It's a proof. Tim said yesterday in his sermon, Tim is not only an evangelist, Tim is an apologist, teaches it at the school, has been for years, but he says, I've studied all the other faiths. None of them have the evidence that Christianity does. That's powerful. Well, there's your bet. That's the first evidence. Raised him from the dead. Let a bunch of people see him. Why didn't he let everybody see him? I don't know, but it tells you in Acts 10:40 and 41, it says, he was raised and he was shown to those appointed by God. Well, if seeing is believing, why didn't he just show him to everybody like I was taught as a new Christian? One day he's going to come back. And when they see him, every eye will see him and every tongue will confess. They think that seeing equals confessing. No. A lot of people saw him even before he died. They didn't believe him. But he didn't show him to everybody after he died. because that ain't faith. Ain't it?
Okay? From a scientific point of view, sight is the weakest form of proof.
Okay. Say that again. Science is a weak form of proof?
Sight.
Oh, sight.
Is the weakest form of proof, according to science.
According to science.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. And yet, a lot of people, I was taught, hey, to see it is to believe it.
Right.
And that's not the Christian faith in Hebrews 11, is it?
You can't see it till you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the world of the spirit. It's always opposite of the world of the physical.
Yes. That's why I put here, the New Testament reality is a spiritual reality. Opposite of the type that you could see and touch. That's not the faith realm. Okay? It's not it. So anyway, this is what we got here. Paul said there's a day. Young's doesn't capitalize it, but there's a day. And the day doesn't mean a 24-hour period. The day means the day of Yahweh. Okay? The day of Yahweh. You need to be watching for that because on the judgment, that's when it was going to come, in the day of Yahweh. The resurrection came, would come, the judgment would come, and the parousia, or the presence. Para means alongside, and ousia is the I am. Garrett has taught us that when you go back from ousia, okay, the essence, we get our word essence, and you go back, the derivative that comes from is I am. The I am alongside. That's parousia. It's a presence, not just a coming. Come, I'm going to see him, then he's going to take us all to heaven. No, it's an indwelling. Here he is, still. Look around. I see it in her. Look around. Hope you see it in others. That's what's going on here. So Paul said there's a day. Now, I was taught that there's more than one day. I was taught as a dispensationalist that the day first was the day of rapture when all the Christians, what happens to Christians? We're taken out. And then you have the day of the tribulation, the great one, okay, during which all this happened. But Christians are gone. And then, after 7 years of tribulation, Christians come back. And then, bad news on them sorry old sinners then. I mean, because we're in charge now. But that can't be fixing a day, okay? I don't believe the Bible teaches that, all right? I don't. But in any event, Paul is talking about this day of judgment. Question is that for Christians? Okay? Is that for Christians? You have to decide that for yourself. I don't think the Bible teaches you that. The Bible teaches who that's for. Let me give you another verse. 10:42, I just was in this area, and he commanded us to preach to the people. When you see the people in the Bible, in the New Testament, what the people are they talking about usually?
Jews.
Jews or Israel, they are the people of God. That's what Daniel knows. That's what all the prophets know. The people is usually code word for the people. Okay? Laos, Greek. And to testify fully that it is he who hath been ordained by God, judge of the living and the dead. He is Jesus. Jesus was given the power of judgment. And that's in 5. You remember down here in John 5? Jesus was telling that the Father doesn't judge anyone. You probably can't see it, maybe. But all the judgment he has given to the Son. Let me tell you, the first time Jesus came in his humanity, in his suffering servant role, in his lowliness, he did not come to judge. Even he himself said, I came not to judge. But he was a judge. How do you reconcile that? He says, the Father gave all the judgment to me. How do you reconcile that? Is the Bible contradicting itself?
No.
Well, then tell me, how do you reconcile that? I'm not came to judge anybody, but the Father gave all the judgment to me. How?
A future judgment.
Okay. When he's there in his humiliation, he's not judging anybody. But when he returned in his kingship and reign, he is going to judge. He that's what he's saying here. Now, when is that judgment? That's the judgment we're talking about. I believe that judgment came on Israel. The Bible teaches that that's who it was come on. It didn't come on you. Well, come on you. You're not under that law to be judged by that. I don't think, okay. But many do believe that. I was taught that, okay. But hey, you know what I plead? I plead the merits of Christ. I know I'm not worthy. I know I would not stand in the judgment. But in Christ I stand. You know? But those people that were not in Christ, guess what? Rev 20, bring those books out. Huh? You want to be judged by those deeds in the book? Well, be happy you're not. Be happy you're not. Be glad that the other book that's there at the same time in Rev 20 is the book of the life. The Lamb's book of the life. And the life is life with God, not biological. Connection to God. That's the book. Okay? That's the one. So that's what's going on. Come here.
Yeah. I was looking at 1042. Is that the God of the judge of the living and the dead? Is that those in earth and Hades, or those who are spiritually alive or spiritually dead? Two different categories that are living and dead.
Two categories, but I think it's going to be both. But where were the dead even at that time? They were in Hades. All the dead were there, even the dead righteous and the dead non-righteous. They were all in the holding place, a gracious place, as John writes. I think it is that. It was a gracious place.
Abraham's bosom.
Abraham's bosom is part of Hades. You see? Part of Hades. And Jesus puts them together. Okay? When the rich man and Dives and Lazarus die, they both go, but one is in Abraham's bosom. So I think maybe that would be the righteous part of Hades. But they're all in the holding place, yes? And they're all coming out at one time. Now, is Hades and hell the same thing? No! The word hell is not in the Bible. Now, look, some people even in our church, they get upset about that. I'm sorry. I use whatever word the Bible uses, but there's no hell there. It's Hades. It's Sheol. Let's use it and then figure out what it means, okay? That kind of thing, yes.
I just need to correct myself in an earlier statement about the Rephaim. That's actually spirits of the dead. It's got the same root as Rephaim.
Yes.
So Rephaim means to heal us.
Yeah.
And Rephaim means the spirits of the dead or giants.
Yeah.
If you will. So I misspoke earlier.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, the Rephaim really come from the Nephilim. It's another word. That's Genesis 6, okay? But what Troy's telling you is that in Hebrew, when you're dealing with words, you usually got a three-letter word, and they're all consonants. Where do you put the vowels? Well, in between. But what vowels do you put? Well, you think these vowels, I think those vowels, you think the other vowels.
Absolutely.
That's a problem. That's what he's getting at. So you got to go by context, and you got to do all that. But
that's why when you have two Jews that agree with each other, they become Christians.
Thank you, sir. So anyway, look, here's what I just want you to think. And look, we're not. I got a lot of verses here, okay? And but here's what they're going to show us. And we're going to finish it next week. I'm not going to stay on this for long, but it's going to show you that there was a day, okay, or day. Capital D. It is the day of Yahweh. There was going to be one more day of Yahweh. But the day of Yahweh was also known as the day of Christ. Well, how could that be? Yahweh is Yeshua. Yeshua is Yahweh. And we've looked at that in the Old Testament many times. Okay, he could be the angel of Yahweh, the name of Yahweh, the presence of Yahweh. Okay? But there was two powers in heaven. And Jews believe that too. That when Jews quit believing about this two power in heaven, guess what? Guess when that happened? After somebody came on earth. Oh yeah, that Jesus guy. And now they said, well, we're monotheists. We only believe in one God. They can't believe in one God and still interpret their Tanakh like they did forever. Till after Jesus. So when they say monotheist, well, that's right. Deuteronomy, you know, the Shema, okay, here, well, Israel, the Lord our God usually says the Lord is one. I think there's a better interpretation, translation. It says the Lord our God, the Yahweh alone. And it can be translated that way. Some translations do it. Yahweh is our God, Yahweh alone. Because you got two of them. We looked at that before. It's not any denigration of Yahweh, the one no one's ever seen, but it's an uplifting of Yahweh, the one that was embodied, and a lot of people saw him. Not a lot, but a lot of people saw him, yes? Okay, well, that's him. He always exegeted the Father, John tells you in John 1. Always. Who was Adam dealing with in the garden? I believe it was Yahweh number 2. Who was standing there in front of Joshua with his sword, the Yahweh of hosts? Who was that? That's him. He ain't no wimpy guy. Okay? Anyway, so that's him. And he too was given the power to do judgment. And so we're going to stop here today, but I'm just going to show you that Peter, all of the New Testament writers said, it's him. It's him. It's him. And the question I still want us to answer and get to the something to help you answer it is that judgment in the future for me? And I'm going to show you one that most people go to that is the one of the troubling ones. Well, it's not troubling to me, but it is to a lot of people. Okay? This one. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5 are where they are. But look at 1 Corinthians 3. You ever heard of this one? It talks about, hey, is your works going to be wood, hay, and stubble? Or gold, silver, and precious stones? Because what's going to reveal it? The day will reveal it. Have you built on... And he's in the middle of a metaphor of building this house, you know? This structure. I think it's a new covenant temple. He says, and wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn away, but you'll be saved. That's thrown to the fire. He's too here talking to it. But gold, silver, precious stones, it'll hold out through the fire. Okay? Because you built on that. Well, here, that's the context where he says, of each one, the work shall become manifest. For the day, capital D day, will declare it. Because in fire it's revealed, and the work of each, what kind it is, the fire shall prove. It'll last. There you go. People say, you're not going to hell, but you barely get out by your butt being burned, you know, that kind of thing. And I've heard a Catholic priest talk about that. He said, that's the purgatory deal. You go there for a while and they purge you out a little bit and then you get to go to heaven. You got to come.
I was going to say, that reminds me of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fire and the fourth person.
Yeah.
Is that Yeshua?
Yeah.
That the consuming fire, we think of hell and go, oh, you're going to be burned forever, but God is the consuming fire. He's always the consuming fire.
Amen.
He has revealed as such, beginning in Deuteronomy, that consuming fire. Where's the last one is 2 Corinthians. This is the one that should get you as well. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For it must be, the word is day, it has to be that all of us are manifested before the Bema seat. You heard of that before? Tribunal or the Bema seat, the judgment seat of who? The Christ, that each one may receive the things done through the body, what does that mean, in reference to the things that he did, whether good or evil. Here's your question. Is that for you as a Christian, or is that for somebody in this transition period, this wavering between Moses' law and Christ's law? Because we all, and I've heard that my whole adult life, we all going to appear before the Bema seat. And even at a funeral, you know, when somebody says, well, then why the judgment? Just for evaluation, Dad. I want to be evaluated. That's the old video deal. Our pastor here from 30 years ago used to video believer. He said, okay, when we all were up there and getting judged, he said, okay, now, here's Keith. Here's Keith. Look here. And they're going to run the video. Here's Richard. Going to run the video. And we're going to weep because we're going to see what? Have you ever heard this?
Yeah.
What are we going to see and weep? What I could have done, should have done, didn't done.
What could have, should have.
Yeah. No, there ain't no video in your future. Okay? No. We're going to rejoice. You're not going to have that baggage with you. You're not. But that's taught now, even today, to Christians. Yes.
So if it were true that... if it were a video or you're going to be reviewed for what you did or didn't do,
yes,
then it's works based. But if it's not, if it's completely done and finished in Christ, then there couldn't be any evaluating of your work.
Amen. Amen. That's, well, I think the Bible teaches that. I think that's what it is. But if you don't know who the pronouns are here, let's get into the pronouns here instead of these modern ones. Who's the we, who's the you, and it ain't you.
Amen.
Huh? Praise God for that. Yes.
It's not that judgment would not be for whether you're saved or not. It's based off of what rewards you would receive in heaven.
It is. That is what's taught.
Yeah.
That is accurate as what's taught. And we had people in our church here that taught that, and they would say, that's why you need to be out here helping in the fellowship hall. That's why you need. You want to be proximate to Jesus? You want to have a closer place to Jesus? Then come on. Because you've got to reconcile these works. There's no doubt the New Testament teaches that there's works reward. To whom is the question, Keith? Who to whom? Not to me. I'm pleading Christ.
think, though, that, when we do our works and we do it for Christ, we also get a benefit, because the peace you get and the joy when you can actually help, or when you're helping with the kids and you see them all running around, not screaming, fighting, but when they're having fun, and the first one that you see that the little light bulb goes off, the joy you get is your reward. You know, you're not working for anything else, but that's a fringe benefit.
Amen.
The gift you get from helping others.
Amen.
So,
amen.
And it all wraps up to Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. No condemnation. That's someone who is not facing a judgment of works. That's Moses' law stuff. That ain't you. Yes. And the same way you have that positive thing, there are people who would tell you, only reason I'm doing good works,
yes,
I'm getting that in heaven. And I've had people tell me, who I think are the most mature people, and they say, I got such a worthy thing from Jesus. The joy, I got that. And you're telling me, that don't even count. I'm waiting on what I get in heaven. Listen, get to where you are right there. Well, what about those? We'll talk next week about what's the other side of that. You mean them old sorry sinners? They don't have to burn forever in hell? I mean forever, real hot and real long. They don't have to do that? Maybe, maybe not. We'll talk about that too. You don't think sin has its own judgment in this life? Yeah, if you lived any time, you know it does. And does not worship of God and good deeds, does that not have its own joy in this life too? Unto an ultimate, I know. Okay, all right, we got to stop. Father, thank you for your word. Let us study it more and let us see what applies to us and what was happening. That's what we want to do, to find truth. Not to convince people, but to find truth and therefore know you better, we pray. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen.